Hey, K-Watchers, it's Leanne.
Hi, everyone, it's Juliette. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have the final episode of Physical 100. We also start our new drama, Queen of Tears. From sweaty men pushing a pole in a pit to Chebel Queen with a tumor, we have a lot to go over. So let's get into it. Good morning, Juliette. How are you?
I am so tired because I have watched, it feels like, 6 hours of television in the last 2 days, and I have not slept well.
So, and you've been walking.
I've been walking like 7 miles a day. I am burning myself from both ends for this podcast.
Yes, it's worth it. I actually looked up some of our analytics yesterday, which okay. I never do this. We've got new listeners all over.
Whoa.
We have a lot of listeners in the UK. We've got Denmark, Germany, a lot in Asia, Malaysia, Philippines. We have some now in Brazil, Portugal, people everywhere. So to all you new listeners,
wow.
Welcome and thanks for joining us.
Okay, that is so amazing. But what? I feel like maybe I shouldn't get so personal on this podcast.
No, that's what they want. They want to hear personal stories.
Okay, can I tell you a really funny story? I was in Orange County over the holidays and I went to this relatively popular spot for kids. And there are a lot of Korean people there. And I felt people staring at me.
No.
And I was looking at my husband. I was like, do you think they know me from the K-Watch party and that's why they're staring? Or is there something on my face? Because I just felt like people kept looking at me and kind of whispering. So anyway, if that was you, just come up and say hi.
I think it's because you walk around the world. I always say this about Juliette. You can see her coming down the street because she's just elbows out. She walks with like presence. She enters a room with a loud voice and a cackle. And she's just like knees out, elbows out.
It's like that. I just posted a little clip of this person fast walking. And I was like, oh, yeah, that looks like me walking.
Exactly. So I'm not you're not famous in Buena Park, but I am saying maybe it's also you carry yourself in a certain way and you're now maybe just noticing it. But no, you could also be a mini celebrity out there.
Look.
You're the Jerome of Buena Park right now.
Jerome is really out there. Jerome of Love After Divorce, he is really out there right now. He was on a radio show in Korea.
Oh.
Him and Benita are there right now. And I saw our friend Sora had just posted it. So they're like, they're definitely celebrities.
That's amazing.
How are you doing? How was the walking challenge this week?
The walking challenge, I've gotten to a good rhythm where I get to 2,000 steps by 8 p.m. Freak out. I now go outside after the kids go down and just like walk on the street up and down. So a lot of Ring cameras are catching me go by about 4 times because I don't go far. I go a short distance, but I just keep treading the same path over and over.
Next thing you know, you're going to be on TikTok and they're going to be like, who is this suspicious woman that keeps walking by our house?
No, totally. I definitely like swing my arms so they know that I don't have any weapons. I'm not here for bad intentions.
We have had some listeners. Many of them went to Coachella. So their numbers are in the 30,000s per day. So we have Chewy Shin, 29,574.
Wow.
Sonic W, 33,000. We also have Mike M.
16,000 steps.
Average. We also have Kirby Koo, who got to close to 35,000. That's a lot of dancing.
We've got Ronan Archibald. He was 20,000 steps. We have Funyun coming in. She did 38,995 steps on Coachella Sunday. The 2 days prior, she did 1,000 steps.
What? I wonder if your body goes into shock after that. Although it sounds like we need a festival in our life every few weeks.
I do want to follow up with Cynthia Park from last week. She gave birth and she insisted her husband still send us her step count.
Okay, that's a true fan, first of all.
9,600 steps she did right before giving birth.
What? She probably was like trying to get that baby out.
I know. So congrats to Cynthia Park and her family for their new baby. A new K-Watch fan.
That's right. Add him to the roster.
Can you imagine listening to our voices in the womb?
He's probably screaming. going to scream every time he hears us now.
He probably is going to come out talking like a mad woman, just 1,000 miles per hour, because this is what he's used to. So thank you to all of our listeners for participating with us and helping push us along the way. We are wrapping up Physical 100. And with that, potentially, we're wrapping up my fitness journey, because I will just be prone on the couch watching Queen of Tears for the next few weeks. So now, yeah, I think I'm still going to keep going with this challenge and keep up my nightly walks.
Oh, you know what? A tangent, but... Okay, so I have been diagnosed with ADHD. Mild.
Is it? Weren't you self-diagnosed? Wasn't you
the
on
mild
the internet?
Part may be a self-diagnosed. But I have seen things on my news outlet, also known as TikTok, that says that people with ADHD get a dopamine hit every time they talk about their plans.
Mm.
And so then what happens is they never do what they said they're going to do because they just have gotten so much dopamine about talking about what they're going to do, which is just classic me. So I'm not going to make any commitments on here anymore.
Because it just...
Because I would just feel so good because I...
And then you feel like you've done it.
I've done it.
Yeah. Right. So we're not going to revisit the scroll of goals you've had at the beginning of the year.
I'm not talking about it anymore.
No, we're not talking about it. We're just going to do it.
That's right.
Before we get into our recaps, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that today is a Taylor Swift new album drop date as Yeah, no biggie. I'm just putting in the world, you know, because it's like my job. But it's 31 songs.
Oh my gosh, that girl's a beast.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes there's diminishing returns when you've...
Right. 31.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm through half of them.
How did you feel...
Haven't cried yet.
How did you feel watching her at Coachella with Travis?
You know, she's just happy.
But did it, because there were so many rumors in the past when they first got together that this was like a PR move. It seemed like a genuine relationship.
Yeah, she seemed really happy. There's a song about him on the album.
He's such a bro.
He's a himbo.
I love
Sometimes you need a himbo. Anyway, just putting that out there, everyone. Okay. If you need something to stream other than this podcast, you've got 31 songs to go through. Okay, now I'm ready to recap. Let's start.
Now onto the less important things.
Yes. Let's finish up with the last episode of Physical 100. We took our time getting here, but here we are. Episode 9 starts with the final two Avengers coming out of the intra-team competition. So we're trying to find who our fourth final player is.
Oh, right.
Tiny Wrestling Champ versus Amadi. I was totally cheering on Tiny Wrestling Champ. Who were you?
Oh, I think I was torn 50-50 because I love Tiny Wrestling Champ. And as an older person, I was cheering him on, but also because of his stature. But then Amadi has been my favorite from the get-go. So I really wanted him to win. Though the more I look at him, he kind of reminds me of like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Oh.
His face? A little bit.
He looks like the turtle on the turtle chip bag.
On the kabuki chip, yes.
He just likes to brush his hair forward. He's right. Just all bangs.
It's like a mop.
His whole face.
I understood that struggle that Amadi was going through where he said, I felt bad because this is the guy that saved me.
Yeah.
But I also knew I had to give my all and I knew I could win this.
Right. So Amadi comes out on top. I mean, Tiny Wrestling Champ in the roller game, he's just tired by the end of it. Amadi just pushes. Tiny Wrestling Champ says, I'm still young at heart, but my body can't keep up.
Oh.
Who of us don't feel this way? So actually, you know, our two favorites from the beginning have made it to the final four. It's your Amadi. It's my Andre Jin. It's Justin Harvey. And then it's Hong Pom Sok.
No, come on. Don't say it like that.
Okay, can I tell you? So, you know, I've been saying Hong Pom Sok. Because I said it wrong the first time you made fun of me and I just went with it.
Yeah, no, I feel like that is his name. Every time we see him, even my husband would be like, Hong Pom Sok. And then when we saw our friend this weekend, I don't even know why he just said it all of a sudden. Hong Pom Sok. That's become his name. So okay. Please.
So my husband, though, is so annoyed at how I say it. He's like, please, please, can you just say it right? He's like making me practice. He's like, you know, your friend, her name, her last name is Hong. Like, say it right. And then it's like, boom, like very soft. And I was like, okay, so I'm like practicing it. He's like, I'm just so glad the show is over. So I don't have to hear you say Hong Bum Suck anymore. But get this. I'm finally like, okay, I'll say it right. We're watching Queen of Tears, episode 1, cut 2, the memorial scene. You know, so there's a scene with the
Kesa.
Yeah. And the chairman is in the window and it's raining. And right. the reporter is like, oh, the eldest son has returned. Do they still have beef? He says the eldest son's name is Hong Pomsuk.
I didn't even pick that up. Oh my God, that is so good.
I mean, sometimes the universe just gives you gifts.
That's right.
I was dying. My
just
husband
handed it to you on a silver platter.
My husband is on the floor dead. He hears that and is just dead. He's like, fuck, 16 more episodes of Hong Pomsuk.
I love that.
Isn't that so, good? The universe taketh away Hong Pomsuk on Fiscal right. 100 and then
and
he giveth.
Giveth.
Anyway, we're down to our final four. There's three rounds of the finale to get us to our final winner. The first round, ropes drop down from the ceiling. We saw this last season. They basically have to hold their plaster torsos up in the air and keep it from falling on the floor. It's pretty slow. We're just watching these guys.
Well, this whole episode, I was like, I fast forwarded through so much of it, watching it at 1.5 speed. And I was like, let's get on with it.
I know.
The other contestants who are watching were saying this is a nunchi game, right? You need to be watching how other people are faring.
And nunchi is?
The literal meaning is your eye force, eye power. But I looked up what this could mean and how it translates to Western culture. It's a little bit of an emotional intelligence, but it's being able to gauge other people's emotions and moods and being able to like adjust your behavior to that.
Yeah. So my mother-in-law says I have a lot of nunchi and it's very scary to her because they're speaking in Korean all the time, but I can pick up words and I can also just kind of like tell what the conversation is about or how it's going. And so she says it's very scary because she talks so freely as if I can't understand, but I'm actually picking up more and then I'll just like interject and she gets very nervous.
She's like, did she understand the bad thing I said about her?
Exactly. But I think it's just being aware.
Like most Westerners don't have that. But some of that is like training, right? Because Westerners are trained to focus on themselves more than they are on caring about how other people are perceiving or what's going on in the room, right?
I see that a lot when I'm with my in-laws because my husband and his sister are very attuned to what they're parents are feeling or what they want to do or like what's next. I'm always just like, they'll tell me, you know, if he wants a coffee, he'll tell me. Right. No, they're very like, you got to get ahead of it and you got to anticipate it. And I sit back and wait. So that's a major difference between how we were raised, I think.
Yeah.
So it's a nunchi game. They're all watching each other. I mean, you basically just need to outlast the last person. Justin can't keep his grips. It's so anticlimactic. It just like slowly drops to the floor. It doesn't even crack because there's so little crash.
Yeah, I thought they would shatter on the floor.
No, he was just holding on to the last second to see if he could keep. He's very disappointed in himself.
And he was so hard on himself.
He really was. In round two, three guys left. They walk into what looks like a granary. I half expect a grain to come down and then they have to like make bread. That would be a great challenge.
That would be a great challenge.
It's called Infinite Squats. I mean, the name of this challenge itself made me just want to puke.
The people who created this show are twisted.
Torture device.
They must have been inspired by like Old Boy or something.
Yeah, maybe. So Andre says he loves pain. And I think that must be true. These guys thrive under pressure and pain in a different way than the rest of us. They're just built differently. Instead of grain, coal comes down the chute. These guys are going to get black lung. I got the black lung pop.
Yeah, it is toxic.
They got belts on like they work at Costco to protect their backs.
I mean, but that has to be so hard on your back to be doing these kind of squats with that much weight on your back.
Well, they don't give up. Andre doesn't give up. He's cursing left and right. They're all just pushing through. Three rounds go by here. Everyone is struggling. Andre just cannot start the last round.
Yeah.
He basically says like actually resting makes it harder.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. You kind of just, it's just easier to push through, to keep pushing versus stopping and starting again.
I realize why Hong Pomsuk is so unlikable is because while he was talking about it, he's like, well, I examined the structure and I figured out a trick that would make it easier. You know, he was just, he's just kind of self-righteous about it. Whereas others were like, oh, you know, I had to push quite hard. They were talking about the challenge versus he's always like, oh, I knew how to overcome this.
I hacked it.
Yeah.
So Andre's out. Sad to see him go.
He was very grateful to himself. And I think that also shows a lot of how we've been conditioned to talk about ourselves. Justin Harvey's like, oh, if you're fourth or you're 100th, you're still a loser. Andre's like, I respect my body. I did the best that I could. I love my body. You know, I think we all have an internal voice that speaks differently to us. And I think there was a lot we could learn from Andre.
Yep. A great challenger. My favorite. Out as third. So we have two left. We've got Hung Bum Suk and we've got Amadi. The last challenge is a pole pushing game. It's a massive center pole laid vertically on a center axis.
Yeah, like a almost like a clock.
Right. And then these two guys basically are at opposing ends and have to push it with all their might against each other's force. Move the poles from 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock to 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
It was a lot of just watching them push.
It's like trench warfare. It's just attrition, like a little inch right. at a time.
They said it was like 10 minutes, then 20 minutes.
I have to say the last challenges were boring.
They're so boring.
Hung Bum Suk wins it. And now he only needs to win the second round of three and then he wins the whole thing. So we think, ugh, he's going to do it. He's come out on top every time. Always looks like the underdog, but kills it. Round two, it only happens in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens. Amadi just gets it.
They're just getting tired.
They're just tired. Amadi pushes.
And I imagine they're sweating so much that the thing that they were pushing against was getting slippery. So
gross.
Yeah.
Amadi pushes, wins the second round handily. The third one.
Also very quickly.
Yeah. So we have our physical 100 season 2 champion.
Yeah. I watched a YouTube clip of the two of them doing a diss battle. You know, so they were like throwing disses at each other and they had a few contestants behind them, like cheering them on. And Amadi's like, well, I feel like I won because you're old. And then Hung Bum Suk says, yeah, then you should have won more easily.
Oh, dang.
It was a good
I actually have written retort. Down that they make all these little speeches during the last episode gosh, and yes. they're so snoozy. There's like no shit talking.
I had to fast forward.
I know.
Well, I want to ask you a few questions. What do you feel like was the best challenge from the season?
There wasn't anything that I was super into. I think I liked the midair challenge on where the monkey bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say the same. If there was an American that you would put on this show, who would it be?
I don't know, like The Rock?
The Rock. He could be like maybe similar to an MMA king.
Yeah.
Right?
Or like John Cena. One of those big guys, John Cena. You know?
Yeah.
So as always, we are sad to wrap up another show.
The next season, it said Asia.
Oh, because it can't find another 100.
That's what we've been saying up till now.
They're maxed out in Korea. Goodbye, Physical 100. Hello, Queen of Tears.
What a hard pivot we are making.
Could not be more different. So Queen of Tears is the new drama on Netflix. We were not sure if we were too late to the game, but there's so much in the news about how it's breaking viewership records in Korea.
Right.
So we had to hop on the bandwagon.
We had to hop on. I am very resistant to dramas because
they're hit or miss.
They're hit or miss.
And they're a long-term commitment. Yeah.
And these episodes are very long.
So Queen of Tears, it's written by the writer who wrote My Love from the Star, which now is already
10 years old.
10 years old, which is so crazy.
Did you watch that one?
I did.
Oh, so she really likes this guy.
Oh, Kim Soo-yeon. I mean, who doesn't? He's one of the highest paid actors in Korea. He makes $165,000 US per episode.
Crazy.
I know. This woman also wrote Crash Landing on You. And you can tell, I feel like there's a lot of the same notes. It's like, this show is very funny. It's very stylized. It's written very well. So apparently the show was announced 2 years ago. And it's finally
really?
Here. Yeah. So the fans in Dramaland have been waiting a long time for this. The two main leads are Kim Ji-won. She's only 31 years old. And I feel like she's been big for so long.
Oh, wow. She is young.
Yeah. She was in The Heirs in 2013.
And then most recently in...
My Liberation Notes.
Yes. Did you watch that?
I didn't even know about that. My husband's like, oh, yeah, I watched that.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
I watched it too. It was it's a slow burn.
He said it was good, though.
It was very good, but it's not the kind of drama that gets like a lot of interest because it was very slow for a long time.
No, I loved her from Descendants of the Sun. I also loved her in Fight for My Way with my other fave, Park Seo-joon, the other lead.
Kim Soo-hyun.
My gosh, this man looks good in a suit.
He does, but he looks very young. How old is he?
He's 36.
Oh, wow. He has a baby face.
I know. He kind of has like the perfect face.
Really? He's your type.
He's a little
I can't
too,
figure out your type. Yeah, okay, so we got Andre Jin on one end all the way to.
I think I see him for how good looking he is, but he's not my type.
Yes.
I see. I can appreciate a face like
that. You can
that.
Appreciate beauty.
Yes. I just love that his like forehead is out on this show. We really get to see his face. He looks the same as he did in My Love from the Star, I feel like.
He has not aged.
You know, he's in real life very good at bowling. If you look on TikTok.
Oh, what?
There are clips of him on a reality show bowling and he's wearing.
Okay. Korean's on a reality show for everything. Oh, bowling?
No, no. No, he's on a variety show. I thought it was just
a bowling reality show.
He did try to become a competitive professional
bowler. What?
Yeah. But so he's on this variety show and he's wearing the bowling wrist guard.
Oh, God. Could that be any dorkier?
Took down his hotness factor by like 10,000%. He's also known for being a good crier. He cries a few times in this episode. And
does that bring down his hotness factor by 1,000%?
And he also has been doing a lot of cameos. He was in Crash Landing on You.
Oh, he was.
I had last seen him on Hotel Del Luna. I don't know if you ever saw that one. That was a good one, too.
I did. Wow, I'm surprised at how many dramas you've watched.
I mean, we don't have the K-Watch Party podcast for nothing. Let's start with episode one. Can we start with the intro? I usually skip intro, but I really love this intro. The music is good. There's a lot of emotion, which bodes well for the drama. We start the episode off with a hazy drama filter on their romance. It's another montage of them happy. There's so many kisses. First minutes, there's like 10 kisses.
Okay, I watched this 2 times and I must have not been paying attention very well.
I don't know how they get us so excited for just these tongueless, sexless kisses, but I was clapping my hands. We meet the two lead characters. Kim Ji-won is Hong Hae-in.
Oh, the last name Hong is back. Hong Hae-in? You can't butcher this one. We'll just call her
Hae-in.
Hae-in.
Yeah.
That's a hard name to say, too.
Yeah. Hey. She's the heiress to a Chaebol family. Then there's
Baek Hyun-woo.
That one's also really hard to say. He's just a normal guy from the country.
His family has 30 cows.
Yes. We hear a lot about that. He also was just super smart, got to go to a top college, and now is a lawyer.
And they met at work. Right. Because they both worked at this company. She was the intern. She was like Paris Hilton working at like a Hilton corporate office.
It's like undercover boss.
Exactly, undercover boss. She's kicking the copier.
That's their meet cute, is that she can't get the printer to work and he comes to help her with it. To her, he's the knight in shining armor helping her with the printer. But to him, he's like, this woman is going to break this machine and he's trying to get her to stop.
But see, he liked her because she was helpless. That's how the romance started.
Uh-huh. And he's like, I just think about her and I want to give her an umbrella and I just want to make sure she's okay. Is that really the right way
But that's how some men view women.
Is like helpless creatures.
Yes, I am the savior. By the way, though, Hyun-woo, when you kick the copier, it works.
That is a real indication of Juliet's style. You know, this is, again, elbows out, just like bang on things.
That's right. And they'll work. Little brute force gets you somewhere.
Yeah. That is how they met. You see a little bit of their wedding in the beginning. I almost got married there.
Yeah.
That's the property.
That's where all of the wealthy families get married.
Well, I mean, we got a hookup there.
You had a referral discount code.
Yeah, exactly. So, so there's like 3 spots on Walker Hill we're getting married. My mother-in-law didn't want to have an outdoor wedding, so we didn't get married there. But now I'm like, I should have pushed it.
Well, nowadays,
I didn't realize.
I think because they're modeling after American weddings, a lot of Koreans are looking for outdoor weddings.
Yeah, what could have been? I could have gotten married there, but you know, instead I'm just happy to get a new cuckoo rice cooker.
Hey, you descended from the ceiling, so they can't say that about Hane. At least you had a new rice cooker. I still have mine from 10 years ago.
That's true. We kind of see how they met and they have happy moments, but zoom into what their current life looks like. They live in different wings of the house.
They sit at a 12-person table on opposite ends while they're eating their meals.
Yeah, they couldn't be further apart, but they do work together.
They work together, but they seem to really hate each other.
Yes. We see Hae-in in action as a CEO of the Queen's department store. She is walking with her assistant, who I love this assistant. The assistant's face is so good. She's talking about how the store is doing 880 billion won in sales, but hasn't hit the 1 trillion club, which I guess is a thing. So she really wants to hit the 1 trillion club. In order to do this, she wants a store called Herkina.
When I saw it, I was like, that looks like an STD. Hersena?
They
call it Herkina.
Is this my new Rojenta?
It is. I think what they're doing is they're like pulling the most obscure foreign name to make it sound
luxurious. That's the store she wants in her mall. They work together. Hyunwoo is the lawyer for the department store.
They're clashing in front of everyone. She's yelling at him. She essentially cuts his penis off in front of everyone, and then he's left standing there. I think a big mystery here is what happened. Mm-hmm. They were so in love. It seems from the montages in the beginning, and it sounds like she defied her family to marry him. They now hate each other. But she says to him, after this clash in the boardroom, quit playing the martyr and treat those close to you better. Mm-hmm. So there's something here where she feels that he doesn't treat her well.
Yeah. The first episode is always just like you meet everyone. So we meet a lot of people in this episode. There are a lot of characters in this show. We meet the immediate family. It's just your run-of-the-mill Chaebol terribleness.
Right.
You've got a domineering mother who hates her.
Who hates her and also dictates how she's going to live her life, when to get pregnant, what her son-in-law is going to do with his life.
A shameless father. A dumb, useless brother.
Oh, there's my gosh.
Always a dumb, useless brother. In a Chaebol, there's always a dumb, useless brother. And like a, you know, just like a meek wife.
And then the chairman.
And a chairman's girlfriend.
Ooh. And then we have the crazy aunt.
Oh my God. The aunt is so amazing.
She is going to be our comic relief.
She's so over the top, but believable.
Yes.
I love her so much. She is really bitter against her father, the chairman, because she believes that her own mother died of a heart attack 20 years ago because of this
girlfriend, chairman's girlfriend.
You know, I was going to have like a segment that's like, what's up with? Because what's up with that girlfriend? So crazy aunt has it out for this girlfriend who seems to be a very nice looking put together woman who also has never married the chairman. So everyone seems to believe she's not really in it for the money. But the aunt assaulted her and that's why she's in jail.
Right.
But I think they're setting something up with this girlfriend because the girlfriend and the chairman
are playing
Changi. Just FYI, it's from China. But anyway.
oh my God. What is it called in China?
Shang-Chi, I think.
Oh, Changi. They're playing this game and it's a foreshadowing.
It is.
It is so on the nose. And the chairman, like, he takes over. And then
he's very confident in his strategy. Confident. Like, you're so dumb. You're letting me take your pawns.
Right. He's like, if you're not paying attention, you'll lose everything. And then she comes in with her queen and says, I took over your palace.
Yeah.
Where will the king run away to?
Oof. It is a great spicy nugget. What is up with?
What is up with?
So that's the crazy Chaebol family. The dad.
Hayne's dad.
Hayne's dad is, I think, you know, a CEO.
Of one of their subsidiaries.
And there definitely is an eldest brother who was away in Hawaii, maybe.
Hung Bum Suk.
Hung Bum Suk, part two. And so they've kind of set that up too, that there's this eldest brother somewhere. Yes. There's always, you know, gotta be sibling rivalry for control and power when the chairman passes. The chairman definitely favors Hayne. She's clearly seen as the more capable one.
Right.
But nobody actually likes her.
Yeah, that actually was sad to see. Her mom doesn't like her. Her mom sued Hayne's company.
Yeah.
For rights to land. The conflict is thick in this family against Hayne.
We see in episode 2, I think, that the reason for this is there is a dead sibling.
Right.
Like this mom lost a child. She somehow blames Hayne for it. We're not sure why.
Yeah.
This will come out later.
Also, really fun to see when they were doing the memorial service for the chairman's former wife that all the men were in the kitchen.
And they said, son-in-laws.
All the son-in-laws were in the kitchen. And they said it was because that was the traditional way that memorial services were done.
Like for nobility.
Yeah. And actually, when I looked it up, it said that women typically were not even allowed into the memorial service. It was just men. But I loved how they did this. And all these men are like accomplished. And they're like, oh, if my mom saw me, that I was in the kitchen, which is what our mother-in-laws say about our husbands.
Oh, but it's just my husband says when he's peeling himself fruit. Like, if my mom knew what I was doing.
So I thought that was so great that she put that in there.
I love that they're outside after the memorial service and one of the son-in-laws is smoking a cigarette between chopsticks.
Yes. Probably because he's not allowed to have the smell on his fingers.
Yeah. But it's like, you know how we use chopsticks to eat
Yes.
hot Cheetos?
I know. So innovative.
We get to see the depths of Hyunwoo's despair. We meet his one designated friend. You know, every lead in a drama has just that one friend. This guy is a divorce lawyer. They went to school together. He's also from Hospital Playlist.
He is, yes. Side note.
Yes.
Hospital Playlist, I saw a clip of the cast with the writer and producer.
Okay.
And they were like, you're working on number three, right? To the writer. And he's like, huh? And like, you're working on it, right? And he's like, well, if you guys really want me to and are committed to it, then I will do it.
I mean.
So it could be coming. If you guys watch Hospital Playlist, that was a fantastic show.
That would be amazing.
Number three.
We get Hyunwoo's point of view about his marriage in his conversations with his lawyer buddy. And then when the lawyer buddies ask why Hyunwoo would want to divorce this Chaebol, like get out of this rich family, lawyer friend goes, Dorai?
That's right. That was going to be my Korean lesson for the week. Dorai is what you call a lunatic, a psycho. So if you ever want to say that about somebody you know, you say Dorai.
My husband thought that was hilarious. He was laughing. That's why I wrote it down. So I was like, what is that? He thought it was so funny. They go to the batting cage. I mean, a great scene. There's some hilarious scenes.
This is promising to be a great drama.
I mean, they go to the batting cage, Hyunwoo and lawyer buddy. They get drunk after, and Hyunwoo starts drunk crying. Again, like in Marry My Husband, I love a good drunk scene because this is the only time these stars are...
can let out all that emotion.
Exactly. And he is so funny. This like does not hold back. He says, I can't go home. I'm just too cute when I'm drunk and crying. He is so cute. And then also hilarious is there's a scandal protection team.
Right.
Sitting close by.
So every time he stands up, they stand up, you know, because they're ready to protect him from anyone like taking videos or pictures of him.
It's so funny. We also get more insight into why Hyunwoo is so miserable in his therapist session. A lot of his problems come from his in-laws. And I think you see it in the scenes when he actually does have to like sit with them in the living room or eat dinner with them. They all talk down to him.
Right.
They treat him like they're consigliere in like The Godfather, right? Where you just clean up everyone's messes.
The parallel is to Succession. He is like Tom.
Right. This is the Shiv-Tom.
Shiv-Tom relationship, yeah.
But the difference in Succession is that Shiv actually has no power.
Well, no one in that family has power. Right. Except for the dad. Whereas
and Tom is super wily.
Yes.
This one is flipped.
Yep.
But yes, there's a lot of like Succession-like themes that run through. We see it in the hunting scene. Yeah. You see it in the clothing. It's like only quiet luxury here. I have a note about how fabulous Haynes' clothes are. That like bright blue suit she wears when she's going to the doctor, all of the sunglasses, everything is just very impeccable that she wears. We also meet his family.
He drives to his small rural town and there's a big banner that talks about how he joined the Queen's group and is the lawyer there. And like in these small towns, when you succeed, they brag about this for decades, you know, and they put up these banners. It's like the old school Facebook post.
Right. You meet his dad, who kind of just seems like a dodo. And then we meet the mom, just like a lovely lady. There's a sister who also is just, she's a lot. So we see a conversation. He comes to the country. He's at his wit's end. He tells them he wants to get divorced. The brother, the sister, the dad are like, no, you can't do that. That's crazy. Why would you do that? And the mom is like, if he wants to get divorced, he should get divorced. It's better than dying. And then we see in episode 2, a flashback scene where he talks to his family about, I want to marry this poor girl.
I feel like I'm going to die if I'm not with her.
Yeah, right. And they think she's poor. And they're like, oh. And so the dad, the sister, and the brother are like, don't marry her. She's so poor. You can't support her in soul. And the mom says, you should marry her. It's better than dying. I think she's going to die. The mom, don't you think? That's, I'm just putting that out there.
Another foreshadowing is Hyunwoo's father-in-law, Hae-in's dad, has somebody within his circle who submits his resignation. And to his face, he's like, oh yes, I'll be rooting for you. Go off and do your thing. And then he turns around and tells Hyunwoo, who is his lawyer, you're going to have to make it known that this guy is betraying us. For those people who abandon us, you're going to stab them in the back. That's what our family does. So...
And then he hilariously shuffles out of the room backwards because he doesn't want his back stabbed as he leaves the room. Right. So good. Yeah, so that's also why he can't get divorced. because this father is going to ruin his life
yeah.
if he gets divorced. Oh, I forgot one person that we meet. It's this nosy matchmaker. She's also in my category of what's up with.
What's up? Who? Well, also, what is her role in this family? Because she's a matchmaker, but she's also involved in all of the family decisions. So I think she, like, is she their PR person? But she is involved in their business and seems like she's trying to sow discord between the two, between Hane and Hyunwoo.
It seems like she has a lot to gain from matching up Hane with her next match. Yes. So she wants them to divorce.
And crucially, she, this lady, is the one who tells Hyunwoo about Hane's will.
Right.
And that before they got married, Hane put in writing that she didn't want, if she were to die, everything were to go back to the Queen's group and nothing to her husband.
He is going in to her room at the end of the night and he's just like done. He has his divorce papers that he's been drafting up himself. He brings it to her. It's kind of like loose leaf. You know, usually you see divorce papers that are like stapled with a sign here right. sticker. You know, right. This is just in hella loose leaf. Yeah.
But before he can present her with anything, we find out she's dying and only has 3 months to live.
So that's the end of episode one. It's a great twist. I can't.
Although, so know, it's a great twist, but also another trope.
I know.
Here we go again.
Using terminal disease to bring two people back together. It's a tale as old as time in Korean drama
tale
land.
Tale as old as time.
Yeah. So that's where we are. We go into episode two, and now we've switched to more of Hane's point of view. We basically start off seeing that she has these weird hallucinations.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that she was like glitching.
She Didn't does,
it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it seemed like?
Yeah, and that she's like kind of skipping time. Mm-hmm. She gets news that she has a tumor that's all over her brain. They call it a cloud tumor. And it's just, you know, again, the quality of the show. She's sitting there hearing this news about a cloud tumor in her brain. And then there's just like fog just like surrounds her in this office. And it represents kind of the cloud that's in her brain, yeah. but also her state of mind.
Yeah, but I also saw rainbows in there. So maybe that is also a foreshadowing of... like she's walking towards either death
right.
or something really beautiful at the end of this. Well, she goes and tells, she's talking to her husband, don't know about it. And she's like, I eat so healthy. Mm-hmm. I do all of these things. I don't understand how this could happen to me. And on top of that, we are sending people to the moon and how could they not get rid of these tumors in my brain? But I was thinking, man, this is a big thing on my TikTok right now about high cortisol in women. And actually, all the ways that we try to be healthy is actually stressing our bodies out. And it made me think about back in the day, pre-pandemic, when we were living in the city, working in these like stressful jobs. And many of us would wake up early with our gym bag, go work out, take a shower in these crazy packed gyms or studios. And then, you know, we would get up at like 6 a.m. to do this and then go straight to work and then go to happy hour after with our gym bag. You know, like, yeah. I mean, but they're saying like that kind of cycle of like not getting enough sleep, but like pushing your body to exercise so hard actually raises your stress and cortisol levels.
Which just ends up being more detrimental.
Yeah.
And offsets all the goodness that you're trying to
yes.
do. Actually, she says also in this conversation, you know, she says they can make self-driving cars, but they can't cure this tumor. And actually, I'm reading this book called Outlive, written by a doctor, and he's a doctor who studies longevity. And so there's an interesting fact about like her point, which is that how come there's no cure for this tumor? He's basically, this doctor is saying that, so everybody touts that mortality rates have gone down in the last 200 years. But actually, this doctor is saying that mortality rate has actually only gone down because of the discovery of like penicillin and antibiotics. And that if you were to take away the top 8 like infectious diseases from this mortality rate and you just left everything else, which is like cancer, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and dementia. Actually, you see that in the last 200 years, we have made very little improvement, really? But we haven't done anything for things like tumors
wow.
and cancer. So anyway, yes, her tumor should be fixed. But so now we watched him in the aftermath of hearing this news. He's like, are you sure you're dying? Like almost
how many months? Yeah. How many days do we have?
Some really hearty laughs in this episode too. When he goes to tell his best friend that she's dying, they're in a restaurant. He writes down on the napkin, meet me in the parking lot at this marina in 20 minutes. They park face to butt in their Mercedes. They get out of their tiny little cars and he has to whisper in his ear. I thought that scene was so funny.
And then the friend has the brilliant idea. Mm-hmm. He says, what are you so upset about? You have just 3 months to make her fall in love with you, change her will, and you'll get all of the assets. And this is becomes the crux of the show.
Which doesn't feel quite right because he never married her for the money in the first place. So he's like, no, I can't do it. Straight cut to him with just these giant flowers presenting to her office.
Could those have been the ugliest flowers in Korea?
Yeah, I think the wrapping is not very chic.
And then blue flowers are where you go wrong because you know those were dyed.
Yes. She is so weirded out by him. And it's great. I mean, that's the most realistic part about this. She's like, what the fuck? You're acting really weird. I don't like this. Hyunwoo at this point is still very excited that his wife is dying. The doctor's like, but, you know, miracles happen. And so now he's getting very nervous that a miracle is going to happen. So he giggle searches.
Did you notice? I didn't notice that was giggle.
It's giggle. Giggle searches for how often miracles happen for people who have terminal diagnoses.
And then he finds so many anecdotes of people actually outliving their diagnosis.
And she comes in and she sees that he's been giggling in this, but reads it as...
I can't. The giggling.
That she reads it like, oh, he cares so much and wants me to get better.
Do you think she really believes it though?
I think so.
You think so? Because when she walked out, she kind of had this smirk on her face and I couldn't tell if it's like she's also playing him. Or she's that gullible that she's like, oh yeah, he cares so much about me.
And then the big thing that happens in episode 2 is we meet David Yoon, or Yoon Eun-sung.
Another hard name. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll call him David. He's the guy from Glory.
Yes. David the X. He apparently is a gatekeeper for Herkina. Haein shows up to this fancy event. Herkina is there. David the X is there. She runs into one of the... Some mean girl from the competitor's family, Royal.
That's right. How could you come here by yourself? Which also is a thing, I think, in Korean culture. Mm. That's why people feel so much pressure to get in relationships in Korea, because you get ostracized for being alone. Mm. So that is also why I think mukbang became a really big thing, because...
You mean the eating
YouTubes? People eating YouTubes and people watching people eating, because people didn't want to be outside eating alone. So they will watch other people eat while they're eating as a form of companionship.
Oh, interesting. And probably also why they do couple outfits, like to show off they're in a couple when they're walking around. Yeah, so she definitely like shames her, like, where's your husband? My husband's here. And then... So she's waiting in line to meet this Herkina, you know, a white man in a suit.
Mr. Herman. Mm-hmm. Pulled him off the street.
Yeah. And last minute, Hyunwoo shows up by her side. I was like, oh my God, he's here.
Yes. It was very believable. Well, I don't know about believable, but it was such a heart fluttering moment. Yeah. He like swept in right when she needed him.
Yeah. Just looking so handsome. David the X is now being set up as a love rival. So Haein's mom, who clearly favors Haein's little brother, makes Haein ask David the X to their family hunting trip to create connections between Haein's little brother and this David Yoon, because he has a lot. So he comes on this hunting trip, which is very Succession-like.
But now we've seen it in 2 dramas, so this really must be a thing with rich Koreans.
Yeah. It's actually interesting. They're walking out of the helicopter, and we've kind of seen this across the 2 episodes. All the other couples in the family actually get along very well and have good relationships. Like the chairman and the girlfriend seem to have a good relationship. Yeah. Haein's mom and dad, they're like holding hands and taking walks. Right. The brother and the sister have a great relationship. So it's interesting that these two are the only ones that... in a very toxic family are actually the ones who don't get along. Okay, here's my other, what's up with
the matchmaker?
Yeah.
She was calling somebody, looking at the map and saying, that's the opening, or this is the territory. So she is clearly setting somebody up.
Yeah. Is there a death plot against Haein? And it looks like they basically cut open the gate between the territories, and then she laid out like corn.
For the boar. Corn for the boar.
So it sounds like she's setting up a trap and she's on the phone with somebody. What's up with this death plot?
Haein loses her consciousness a little bit, right? And she's standing there in the midst of this forest, and there is a boar rushing towards her, but she's...
You kind of can't tell if it's real or not,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like it looks like she's in a dream.
Like having a hallucination.
Yeah, hallucination. I mean, I didn't know boars like that lived in Korea.
Well, this was CGI. I mean, the fog machine is working overtime on this show. So much fog. And then,
just as a boar is jumping to attack her, somebody jumps in and shoots the boar.
It's Yanu.
Yeah.
Again, my heart fluttered.
I have to admit, mine did too.
Yeah. He really came in and saved her. And it was like very well done.
I much prefer him than the Marry My Husband male lead.
Why? Because he's a better actor by far.
He's a better actor. I think that's what it is. I would say the Marry My Husband actor maybe would better looking or more my type. But this guy, he makes it believable. The other one was such a dud.
I know. I mean, this is such an unbelievable scene. The boar is literally 2 inches from them and he kills it and it doesn't like act. The momentum of the boar.
It would have knocked her down, both of them down. Yes.
Exactly. But he makes it really believable. And I actually really felt relieved in that moment. So they did it very well. Somebody's eating some kipsil for dinner. So then that's it. That's the end of the show. We get some epilogues of like happier times. But yeah. What are your thoughts about the show?
I really like it.
Me too.
I was so resistant.
Me too.
And I watched like first 15 minutes. I was like, oh God, a few weeks ago. And I was like, oh, this is so boring. But I'm glad we stuck with it. I'm glad we listened to the masses. Sometimes the masses are right.
I mean, you can't be number one in Korea by this massive margin and not be good. Just loved every second of it. I think it's so funny. They have great chemistry. The camera loves their faces. I mean, this kimchi one, you know, we talked about.
Oh, I thought I said kimchi one. I was like, there was a kimchi scene?
Kim Ji-won, there is a scene where she's in bed. She's looking at photos of the photo shoot from the interview. And she has no makeup on. And it is
really?
I mean, barely. Like me.
Oh, I'm sure she has makeup
a
on.
A little bit, but like it's very barefaced.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's just flawless.
Yeah. I said this on a previous episode of our podcast, but she's really beautiful. She may have had some work done, but it is so natural and she mm-hmm. seems so natural. I really like her. I think it was also a good reminder to us as married people mm-hmm. to look back at your spouse.
Old photos
and be reminded of all the good times you had.
Also, I really love the music.
The music is very good. It's very dreamy.
Very drama-y. Good OST.
OST, I know. I looked up the OST and I'm excited.
So we are excited to keep going on Queen of Tears. Hope you guys are liking the show as well and you stick with us. Thank you for listening.
If you're enjoying the show and you think we're funny and insightful, please go to our Spotify and Apple Podcasts, leave a review, rate, and don't forget to subscribe. That would help us so much.
And then follow us on Instagram at the K-Watch Party. You guys are the best. Have a great week and we will talk to you next week with more Queen of Tears.
Bye.